always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider, as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside, joined on this fine, it's really not that, I mean, it's beautiful outside right now where I am, but mostly frustrated, kind of an annoying Thursday afternoon by you guys. I am going to, on this show, talk about the LaMelo Ball trade that went down this morning after that being reported right at the tail end of the second round of the draft last night. I will talk about that second round of the draft in which the Lakers bought a pick, tried to move up further in the draft, like somebody that they were going to take, didn't get that guy, and then sold back out of the draft. And then I will also talk about the, I'm sorry, as I'm introing the show, RoboCop pops in. I think Rob is waiting in line for Space Mountain. It's a long line. It can get long. You know, sometimes it's a bit of a respite from that hot summer sun there in Disneyland. So I kind of get it, but. So we will go ahead and talk about that second round, which didn't break in the Lakers' favor. Also not breaking in the Lakers' favor is their attempts to land the A-list center that Luka Doncic has made it crystal clear he wants. By way of that LaMelo Ball trade, a couple options left the board there as well. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Jen is calling me right now. She just got off of work, so whoops. Sorry, babe. I thought I was going way earlier. And then we will go ahead and answer whatever questions you guys have over the course of the show. A quick reminder before we dive on in, please hit that like button. Please hit that share button. Please subscribe here to the channel. If you guys are listening to the show in the morning via podcast, please subscribe wherever it is that you get your podcast, preferably on Odyssey, but they all are perfectly fine with me. And then if you guys are watching here on YouTube, it is brought to you in part in this YouTube form by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and make a $5 lineup of your own when you sign up, and you will get $50 worth of free lineups on Prize Picks. So yes, the Lakers aren't playing, but you still have baseball, you still have the World Cup, you still have plenty of things that you can make a little bit exciting there using a little bit more exciting using Prize Picks. All right, let's go ahead and dive on in, starting with this LaMelo Ball trade, which, can't lie, was a bit of a kick in the nuts to the Lakers. From a sheer basketball standpoint, this trade is absolutely fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. The Minnesota Timberwolves the last few years have been this big, bruising, physical team that, like, no matter what combination of players were on the court, they were going to beat you into submission, beat you into oblivion, and you were not going to enjoy playing against the Minnesota Timberwolves. And it's why, frankly, that playing style, that identity, I think really helped them advance to the, deeper into the playoffs, right? Two straight Western Conference Finals there. And before this last one, they, swept right through the Lakers a couple of years ago. I thought they presented an interesting dynamic for Wemby as he grows into his game. I thought they presented a tough matchup for, like, the Denver Nuggets, right? But by way of trading away Julius Randle, as they did earlier this year in a salary dump, and then by trading Naz Reid and turning him and a couple of picks, some pick swaps and stuff like that, into as well as Charlotte sent LaMelo Ball and Josh Green. Moving Julius Randle and Naz Reid, now all of a sudden the front court is thin, right? Now the only front court player that they have that you could definitely write in Sharpie in their starting lineup next year is Rudy Gobert. And then from there, it's really kind of interesting. Are they going to go small and have Jaden McDaniels start at the four with Dosunmu moving into the starting lineup, who they obviously re-signed earlier this week, going with a starting lineup of Dosunmu, obviously Anthony Edwards, LaMelo Ball, Jaden McDaniels, and Rudy Gobert. Like, that's an interesting lineup. It's a really fun one. But that is no longer that hyper-physical team that had given the Lakers problems and really in the playoffs given a lot of teams problems. I don't think they're done. I think they're going to be looking to bring in their starting power forward between now and the beginning of next year. And we'll see to what extent they are successful there. Chris Connolly is always very aggressive, according to the reports coming out of there in Minnesota. The word is that they the Timberwolves and their new ownership are willing to spend into the luxury tax. So we'll see what that roster winds up looking like. But it is absolutely fascinating what that team is going to look like. Like, it's funny because on one hand, that physicality, you know, created a lot of issues for a lot of these teams, but it also led to a situation where if Anthony Edwards was double teamed, there just wasn't many options for the Timberwolves to get their offense started or get positive momentum going in their offense. And it often became really kind of stagnant. Now that you have LaMelo Ball, it's going to be really difficult to double team either he or Anthony Edwards without giving up a really big advantage there. You also have two elite off the dribble 3-point shooters who are really going to space the floor. Rudy Gobert as a lob threat with that much space is going to be really interesting. And I think they have enough length and athleticism to be okay defensively. And worst comes to worst, they can just funnel everybody into the paint where Rudy Gobert will be waiting. Decent chance, by the way, he rejoins in a more serious fashion the Defensive Player of the Year conversation. For the Timberwolves and for, you know, the Western Conference, it's this big kind of gamble, and I'm truly fascinated by how this is going to play out for them. Starting obviously with how they fill out the rest of the roster, but then by what kind of basketball Minnesota plays next year. If this gamble doesn't pay off, and Minnesota, you know, takes a step back by way of, you know, LaMelo Ball's injury issues, he's always in and out of the lineup. If he and Anthony Edwards aren't mature enough to lead a locker room, that's going to be interesting to see. If there isn't enough defense or physicality now that they've let Naz Reid and Julius Randle go without resupplementing that front court, there are several ways that I could see this playing out poorly. There's also a few ways where I could see this playing out really well for Minnesota, and they become a weirder, tougher matchup for some teams. So that's, you know, in a basketball sense in the Western Conference, how I think that's going to affect the Lakers. Charlotte, really kind of interesting what they're doing. They re-signed Coby White basically shortly after they, announced reported that the trade was going down here. And now you have, you know, he's like their lead ball handler. Now, LaMelo Ball had a really positive impact on their offense. And I know that there are those maturity issues and injury questions about LaMelo Ball, but they are going to have to, you know, find a way to replace his production. So it's going to be interesting to see how they do that. Naz Reid is really, makes for a really interesting, set of circumstances there for the rest of that roster there, in that you already have Con Knipple, who is was the best, or I think knocked down the most three pointers in the league last year. You have Kobe White who can space the floor. You have obvious Naz Reid spaces the floor really well. And then, you know, they have the, you know, shooting with, you know, on the wings, and we'll see what they wind up doing with some of those wings if they elect to keep all of them. But yeah, that's an interesting team there in Charlotte. Doesn't really impact the Lakers because I don't think the Lakers ever would have to plan on seeing the Charlotte Hornets in the final series. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens here with Minnesota. Now let's take a second and talk about what this does for the Lakers options at center, which so it's been funny because every Laker fan exited that season last year and probably said to themselves, need to get better at the center position, right? And that's 2 years straight of saying that. Now, they did get better from two seasons ago to last year when they added DeAndre Ayton, but that wasn't better enough. And it was better in the sense of like, you know, it was a good addition given that the Lakers weren't looking to use draft capital to or a big, you know, to acquire a starting caliber center last year because they wanted to keep all of their powder dry for this year. Now you fast forward to now, and you know, every Laker fan who watched that team last year, including Luka Doncic, right? Like, you know, walked away from last year, said, all right, Ayton, you outperformed your contract. You were perfectly fine for a DeAndre Ayton season, but that isn't enough, right? And there have been centers who I think all of whom that I'm going to bring up would be upgrades over Ayton. And you can disagree with me if you want. You can disagree with me to the extent, or we could, you know, we could have that debate if you want. But in my opinion, all of these centers who have been moved so far this year would be upgrades over Ayton, even if they're, you know, acquiring them would be somewhat complicated. So let's start with the first, you know, the first center who moved so far this year, that being Nick Claxton. And he went from the Brooklyn Nets in a three-team trade to the Chicago Bulls, who basically acquired him for cap space. That was it, right? And I know that Lakers fans are going to say, well, he's really skinny and his game was heading in the wrong direction. And there are plenty of reasons to be skeptical of, you know, Nick Claxton, the basketball player. I think he has a very workable contract that is descending in value. Which made him even more appealing to me. I think he would be a lot better in a situation with Luka and Austin, and I'm told likely LeBron James, who I believe is going to be back next year. So, I think with that amount of creation, I think Nick Claxton would have taken a step back in the direction that you know, into the player that he was a couple of years ago. I do think that the questions about his frame are fair, right? I think in this West, you need more of a bruising anchor, which, you know, he is not. He does not shoot three-pointers, and his rebounding is going in the wrong direction. There are plenty of reasons to say, I'm not really sure about this guy. Now, also worth noting, had the Lakers acquired him into their cap space, that would have involved, because LeBron hasn't been signed yet, because Rui hasn't been signed yet, that would have meant you needed to renounce both of those guys to bring in Nick Claxton into the cap space created by renouncing them, which complicates things, right? Because now you have to acquire Nick Claxton into that cap space, and now you don't have bird rights on either LeBron or Rui Hachimura anymore. And you would have to go and ask one of them, likely, are you willing to play at the mid-level exception or sign into the remaining cap space that we have after trading for Claxton now, which, you know, may have been a complicating factor. At that point, are you willing to risk losing Rui Hachimura and or LeBron James for Nick Claxton. Perfectly fine if you don't think so. I think that there would have been ways to have those conversations so that you could have brought one or both of those guys back. But regardless, Claxton off of the table. The next guy who winds up getting moved is Isaiah Stewart, right? Who went again from Detroit, got traded basically into cap space for 3 second rounders. Those 3 second rounders were the ones I believe that Memphis had acquired earlier by trading out of the first round. They basically utilized their flexibility to bring in Isaiah Stewart. You guys have heard me argue on behalf of Isaiah Stewart previously. That is somebody who I had reported and still continue to hear right until he was eventually traded, that the Lakers had shown an interest for, but it doesn't wind up happening. And again, you know, you want to say, well, Ayton is bigger, Ayton is this, Ayton is that. I love Isaiah Stewart's motor. I love how fast he is. I think he would have provided a really interesting dynamic at the center position, whether that be as the, I think he probably, had they acquired him, he probably would have been a backup on top of whatever other center that they go out and get. But, you know, you go out and you get him. He is one of, like, he's a super underrated rim protector. He has really long arms, really thick body. He can't, he basically can't be moved because his center of gravity is like underground. And so it just makes it, you know, for this, you know, really challenging thing to score on him one way or another. And on top of it, every team that plays against him has to be worried at any given moment that he might haul off and beat the shit out of one of their players, which I kind of like in one of my front court players. Like, I like having kind of a loose cannon there who the other team is just a little nervous around at all times, especially a team that has Luka Doncic and LeBron James and Austin Reeves, three guys who will get their share of cheap shots from time to time from the other team. If they get a cheap shot and Isaiah Stewart doesn't like that cheap shot, probably a good chance that Isaiah Stewart is going to make it so that nobody wants to throw that cheap shot ever again, which I think is really kind of valuable. But anyway, he is no longer on the table because he got traded to Memphis. In order to acquire him, you would have only needed to, I believe, renounce one of LeBron or Rui. So you probably could have just renounced Rui there, traded for Isaiah Stewart, still had bird rights on LeBron, and carried out the rest of your offseason. For the most part, whenever I hear people talk about Rui's market, if he was to leave the Lakers, it's in that like mid-level range. By the way, sorry, I have my phone over here just in case something happens while I'm on the air. But yeah, like if Rui does leave, most of the people who have been kind of figuring out what his market would be have him pegged at or around, maybe slightly higher than, if a team really, really likes him, the mid-level exception, which means that the Lakers, at least theoretically, could have brought him back depending on what his market is and depending on if he doesn't hold it against them for wanting him back after a successful season without, while taking a pay cut. So, yeah, I mean, the Stewart thing, no longer an option. Claxton, no longer an option. And now by way of this LaMelo Ball trade, two fewer options out there, right? Like, you have, Gobert was somebody who, yes, like, Luka clearly doesn't like and really enjoys attacking whenever his teams face off against Gobert teams. Had the market shaken out differently and Gobert would have been available, probably the best defensive anchor that you could possibly have realistically have acquired this year. He is absolutely huge, which makes it so that you can, he can at least in theory be a lob target. Now, he has terrible hands, and he is one of the worst finishers I have ever seen, which would have made him very frustrating in that regard. And he also is on a huge contract, and because of the amount of picks that it took to land him, his trade costs probably would have been pretty high. So, like, if you want to say, well, he's not a perfect acquisition, then all right, fine. Also, you know, obviously, is who was available and nothing but a salary dump was Julius Randle, who was not a center. So I'm not really going to consider him one of the guys that I'm like, you know, even remotely bummed that he is gone and the Lakers didn't bring him back. The other guy here, though, who I do think would have been interesting was Naz Reid, where now in order to, you know, move off of Naz Reid, the Timberwolves, you know, brought in a max level point guard who they think is going to keep Anthony Edwards a little happier than, you know, than had they not brought LaMelo in. So, like, the price on Naz Reid was probably pretty high. But, like, if you're getting a good player, the price is probably going to be pretty high. We'll talk about prices on potential other guys here in a bit. But Naz Reid, he's this really big body. He can space the floor, which means you could play some five out. He could shoot the ball over the top of Wembanyama, which I think is something that every team that is hoping to beat Wemby in a series is going to be, have to be able to do. And he was this interesting option who I had thought maybe, just maybe, and now he's off of the board now that he is in Charlotte. So those are two other options, which leaves basically, it's like Walker Kessler, who I've been told is extremely unlikely. You have Jalen Duren, who is also extremely unlikely based on the stuff that I've heard. You have your free agents, right? Robert Williams or Mitchell Robinson. There's been a lot of noise coming out of New York that they are like preparing for losing Mitchell Robinson to the Lakers, because they don't want to go above the second apron. And the Lakers, I guess, according to, you know, the word coming out of New York is that the Lakers are prepping some offer in the range of the mid-level exception or maybe a full $15 million in offer, which includes a promise to start, which is something he hasn't been doing, obviously, there in New York with Karl Anthony Towns starting ahead of him. So like Mitchell Robinson is an interesting one, but he's also not perfect, right? I guess we could have the return of the Hacka, whatever strategy, to the hallways where it started. You could go from Hacka Shaq to Hacka Mitch. So you have that. I guess you could, he is kind of a lob, you know, he's a lob threat in that he can get well above the rim, but he doesn't have the best hands and not the best touch from what I've seen. Now, he is a very good defensive-minded big. He does get after it on the boards on both sides of the ball. So that is something that would be an additive to the Lakers. But he's not an A-list center. Even if the Lakers would try to frame it as like, oh, reigning champion played a key role on a championship level team. So did Timofey Mozgov, by the way. And so like that would, I don't know, he would be free in that, you know, you could sign him using your exception, I guess, after you bring back LeBron. And I guess in this instance, you could bring back Rui. It might cost you Marcus Smart if he opts out in this scenario, which I would be pretty bummed about. The Lakers would be kind of screwed defensively on the perimeter if they just lost Marcus Smart. But like, as far as their other options, like what, there just aren't very many of them, right? Unless you're convinced that Sam Presti for some reason is going to help the Lakers get the center that they clearly and desperately need. You could, you know, hope that DeAndre Ayton opts in, or you could have him opt out and then bring him back. But he's not an A-list center, because if he was, Luka wouldn't be asking for an A-list center. So like the options here for centers is just not great. And like, we're going to take another break here in a second, but like, this is something that, you know, a front office with real foresight should have seen coming. This notion that, you know, cap space in a post cap space world, in this apron world filled with, extensions and trades and all this stuff, like, this is a scenario that the Lakers, by putting all of their eggs in the basket of cap space and the flexibility, or I guess, sorry, optionality that comes with cap space, by leading too heavily into that, the Lakers are now stuck here in a spot where, like, sure, you have optionality, but all the best options are just keeping your roster together, a roster that Luka Doncic clearly doesn't think was good enough.